Welcome to JAG Talk, a podcast series featuring Navy JAG community experts. Listen to in-depth discussions about different legal fields and hear insights and lessons learned from practitioners across our enterprise.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a special edition of our podcast. I'm Lieutenant Greg Lines. Today's episode is going to be a good one, folks. In preparation for the 10th anniversary of the Victims Legal Counsel program, we've put together an all-star lineup of guests who are coming to answer, inter alia, the question, VLCs, where are they now? Make sure your headphones are charged. Here we go. My next guest is joining us from one of my favorite places in the world. That's right, the land of the rising sun, Japan. Let's have a taiko drum roll for Lieutenant Commander Elizabeth Jarzik. Welcome. Ohayou gozaimasu.
Thank you. Good morning.
Oshashiburi desu yo ne. It's been quite a while there. Well, to kick things off, just kind of walk us through your JAG Corps journey so far and what jobs you've had up to this point.
Sure. I commissioned in 2011 and went to ODS that fall and NJS the spring after that. I went to RILSO Northwest after that. I was at trial counsel for about a year, and then I transitioned to legal assistance for about 8 months or so. After that, I rotated down to RILSO Southwest, where I was the base SJA for Naval Base Coronado. I then went to the VLC program after that, stationed out here in Yokosuka, Japan as well. And then I went to the Naval Academy, where I was the department head for instructors and taught there for 2 years. And most recently, I was the judge on board USS Gerald R. Ford, stationed in Norfolk, Virginia, took her on her inaugural deployment. And now I'm out here in RILSO Westpac, renamed as the Command Services Department Head.
Yeah, that is quite a journey, kind of all over the locations the JAG Corps has to offer. And definitely appreciated your time on the Ford. It was very easy to work with y'all with kind of our mutual clients as a VLC here in Norfolk. So, well, and before we dig in, too, another kind of fun fact for the JAG Corps world. So you and I actually grew up in the same town, right?
We did.
Same high school.
Mm-hmm. So marching band together. I feel like we have to acknowledge that.
Mm-hmm. So JAG Corps really is a very, very small world, right? It's kind of funny. I went to high school with you, and then I went to law school with Lieutenant Commander Lycum. So,
that's funny.
Arizona representing.
Throwing one more out there, Matt Baglioli, who was the legal assistance department head here until about 2-3 weeks ago, went to elementary school with my husband, who also went to high school with us. It's wild.
That is wild. That's quite a lot of people. and shout out, while we're at it, shout out for Phoenix. We love it. It's a little hot, but it's home, right? So I think the only big difference in our background, right, is you went to the other law school in Arizona.
I did. Like all billeting decisions, you should go where the food is better.
So, all right. Well, let's kind of dig into things. So, when you first found out that you were going to be a victim's legal counsel, what was your reaction? How did you feel about that?
I actually asked for the job twice, in fact. So at the end of my first tour, and I wasn't in what we're now calling the judge advocates in their initial tour, like sort of training pipeline. I was a tweener. Towards detailing decisions at the end of that tour, the VLC program was just standing up, and I really wanted to go to Japan, as did my family. So I raised my hand and said, hey, I know that you're having a little bit of trouble filling the VLC Yokosuka billet. I'd be happy to take it. And again, the program was brand new. We had a congressional mandate, and they did not want to detail a second tour lieutenant at that time. My understanding is I think that's changed now. So I did not get that billet. But I went through a lot of the screening process, and then I went to Coronado, and then I raised my hand again. Same thing. I wanted to get to Japan. It was a mission that I was willing to be a part of. And so there I went.
Yeah. If you don't succeed at first, try again. Right?
That's right.
There you go. What aspects of being a victim's legal counsel kind of stood out to you the most?
at that time, I had, like I said, I was a trial counsel for the first year that I was in the JAG Corps. I think I did 5 contested trials that year. I came in wanting to litigate. And when I didn't make it through the VLC screening process because I was too junior, I ended up not quite in a hot fill, but something close to a hot fill, taking that SJA billet. And I won't say I went kicking and screaming, right? Like the JAG Corps asked me to go, and I said, of course. But I didn't really have an interest in SJA work. And then I got there and I loved it. So for me, the VLC program was, I thought, an opportunity to really soul search and figure out whether I wanted to litigate or whether I wanted to be an SJA.
Yeah, no, I can definitely relate to that. Almost in a way, depending on how you look at it, it's like mil just light. Because you do a lot of military justice stuff, right? You want to help keep an eye towards litigation and trial. But a lot of cases don't get there, right? And so you end up doing, I think, significantly more outside of the courthouse and the presence of the prosecutors and whatnot.
I think that's right.
So for you, what were kind of the biggest challenges you faced, like on a personal level? Like, did you deal with any kind of fatigue, burnout, vicarious trauma, anything like that?
Yeah. Taking a VLC billet OCONUS meant that instead of, and I don't know what the rotations look like now, so don't take this for what the current situation is, but we were kind of pushing hard for 2-year tours for those because we were sensitive to folks burning out and those exact kinds of issues. But being OCONUS and being accompanied meant that I was here for 3. And I definitely felt it that last year. I also had a particularly hard last year in that we had a lot of client or a lot of child clients that year, including more than one that were the same age as my kids, including one where the alleged offender lived 75 feet from my house where my kids lived.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I can't imagine. Kind of work-wise or like legal kind of novel challenges, what in your experience was like kind of difficult issues that you had to work through on behalf of your clients?
I think mostly it's bread and butter and it's client management, right? You know that. I think client management is maybe even more challenging on the VLC side than on the defense side, because on the defense side, you can always say like, hey, if you don't help me, this is the potential outcome. I think the dynamics are just different when your client is a victim. What success looks like to them is sometimes different and hard to articulate even for them. As far as novel issues, I think there are still things being developed. I think one novel thing that we litigated was whether my child client had standing to argue an emotion about whether she was going to be physically present when she testified.
Oh, interesting. So, and then as you were kind of rotating out from VLC, how has that kind of played into your overall career trajectory?
I figured out fairly early on in my VLC tour that I wanted to be an SJA. That's where my heart lie. And so it helped me kind of triangulate that. I did, like you asked about, like burnout and vicarious trauma, I did ask to go to the Naval Academy to teach for 2 years, hoping that would be kind of a recharge tour for me. It was a hard last year, like I said. So that was something I asked for. And then, you know, I asked to get right back in the swing of it after that, going to Ford. So I would say that's maybe how it influenced my billeting decisions afterward.
And do you feel like going into those cycles, did you feel at all that you were, competitive, you felt like you were in a good place, and that the tour had kind of set you up for, future success?
Yeah, absolutely. I think all of the leaders that I've ever seen detailed to the VLC program and DCAWS as the rock that stays there always have always been very invested in our career success and setting folks up for success. I think they're very thoughtful with how they manage the careers of all of the officers detailed to the program. I felt like they were in my corner when it came time for detailing with thoughtful advice and advocacy if it was appropriate. I also think, like any tour, it is what you make of it, right? Your overall success depends on you blooming where you're planted and doing the things that you need to do. But the VLC program is sort of uniquely situated in that you have a lot of lieutenants assigned to that program, which means that as long as you're there and you're working hard and doing good things, the opportunities to get that good competitive paper are absolutely there because there's plenty of it to go around. I think anybody who's gone to the program and worked hard has come out of the program set up well for those next steps in their career.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point. I think a lot of times people forget that VLC may be like the largest pool of O3s, right? And so if you're looking to break out, it's definitely an opportunity to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's also in my current job as Command Services Department Head, I have a lot of lieutenants who I work with who are getting ready to detail. And, you know, if you're very interested in geography for whatever reason, right, whether you've got a family situation or you're dual mil or you just really want to go overseas, whatever it may be, the VLC program, I think, has more opportunities than anybody else to get you to whatever location is on your mind.
And I think interesting, like when you talk about the geography of the program, in talking with other VLCs, I think it really does make a big difference, right? And your experience can be very different within the program based on where you are. Because obviously, you know, if you're in a larger office like Norfolk, San Diego, it's different than, you know, a smaller remote office, and the practice is going to look different and you have to kind of adjust to that. Another thing you may not think of initially when thinking about VLC, right, is how important is the location.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think for folks who are overseas, it's a unique challenge because a lot of your clients end up taking expedited transfers so they can go home and be closer to family for that support. But that means that you have clients in every time zone around the world, which is its own unique challenge.
Right. Lots of SACMAG meetings in different time zones. Yep. Kind of looking back, how do you feel that your time in VLC was valuable kind of to your overall JAG Corps progression?
I think, like I said, I think it set me up for 04 well. I think I came in zone while I was a VLC, and I felt like I had good paper for that. I think I learned a lot that is still helpful to me even to this day. We were having a Command Services Department meeting yesterday and talking about somebody who had a allegation of wrongful sharing of intimate photos, right? And that was something that they were kind of working through at their particular installation. And I just put out there like, hey, just so you all know, I don't think the Navy's done a good job publicizing this, but that sailor is entitled to ask for an expedited transfer. And I knew that because of my time at the VLC program. And in fact, because I was there, I had the opportunity to chop on that Milper's Man change that gave those folks the ability to ask for an expedited transfer, which, by the way, had been congressionally mandated, but somehow the Navy had missed implementing that in the Milper's Man. So you get tidbits like that along the way that are helpful. But also, I think it gave me a perspective on how to be a judge that took good care of the sailors in their command that had sexual assault allegations. I thought Commander Matson did an amazing job as the judge here on Reagan. He was great to work with. And I took a lot of things, I think, that I learned from him over with me. He was also the person I called when I was thinking about asking for the judge job to get his like honest, unvarnished opinion on whether as a person with a family, that was a good fit.
Yeah. And I will say, kind of as somebody currently in the seat, right, it's almost like a night and day difference sometimes when we are dealing with SJs who have VLC experience. Because I think a lot of times, you know, we kind of just come off as like, we're annoying you, like we're asking, where's the SATER, where's this, where's that, what the command's doing, you know, what is the command doing about this or that? But I think, you know, if you've had that experience, right, when you're in the SJ seat, you understand why, and you kind of, yeah, for me, it always is a huge difference if I'm working with an SJ who has been a VLC before.
It's also such a value add. I was like the sailors that we had on Ford who did not have VLCs. I'm not going to say it was like frustrating, but it's just a much easier process when all of those sort of JAG entities are able to work together.
Right. And I think, you know, for unrepresented versus represented victims. It's just a huge knowledge gap, right? Because there's just so much as a normal sailor who's never been in trouble, like you don't know about the process, right? And so having that person to step in and help facilitate those conversations with the command and get things rolling, can really help. Not just with stress, but like getting things done, right?
Right.
Digging a little bit deeper into that, how would you say, in what other ways did being a VLC kind of impact your growth and strengths as an SJ?
I think it was helpful to have to work with some of the COs who did not have SJAs, particularly on the waterfront here in Japan. It gave me a better sense. They're all very smart people and they're very good at their craft, but you can see where some of the gaps in knowledge on legal processes lie. And I think, you know, anybody with an SJA skill set, building those relationships with those folks comes more naturally. So I think having been an SJA made it easier for me to work with those skippers and, you know, sort of educate in the way that you can as a VLC on behalf of your clients. But also knowing where the line is appropriate, like, hey, sir, I can't really advise you on that, but, you know, your JAG is so-and-so and let's link you up with them. I think it just I was able to continue to work those SJA soft skills in the VLC program.
So kind of when you look back at your experience, what would you say are like the main takeaways that you've kind of kept with you as you move on?
I mean, bloom where you're planted is always good advice. And it was advice that I definitely got in my first tour from my first CO. And I think that the VLC program is a unique opportunity for that. As a lieutenant, we're not often detailed to places where you're kind of alone and unafraid. And you're not alone and unafraid, right? Because the greater program exists. The Bubba's network is real in the VLC program, right? You have friends who are helping you out, cause and decause, and the OICs really care about your greater success. But you have sort of a unique opportunity to function independently and to shape the office and your practice the way you want to. And that's really fun. And I think that's just good skill development too for folks who want to go on to be an SJA, where you will potentially be alone and unafraid. So I think that's good. It was also a much more hands-on sailor leadership experience than I think I had in the past. We have yeoman. I assume you guys still have yeoman rather than legalmen. So that was really a great opportunity to lead a sailor from another community, because I think LNs are cut from a different cloth and we have a different sort of working relationship and leadership opportunity for them. So then when I went to Ford, right, and I'm interacting with more sailors from the fleet and from various different communities, that was some good skill set for me in helping lead them, managing their evals and that kind of thing.
Definitely. And I concur with you on that part. I think working with the yeoman, just like, you know, if you have the opportunity to work with fleet sailors in a larger office like legal assistants or something, it's always such a great opportunity because it reminds you how unique of a community it is, right? And, helping, it really helps you understand the operators and, you know, your average sailor and person who's in, you know, various rates. And you have to almost in a way like learn how to translate things back into like normal language for people, which, you know, I think ultimately helps them. They're getting the education, but it's also helping you be more accessible to your clients, right? Who come from all backgrounds. So as somebody you kind of identify more with, you know, the SJA side of the house and command services, do you feel that VLC was kind of a good, sufficient experience for you to get MilJust, kind of get your feet wet in MilJust in that way?
I think it helped that I already had MilJust experience going into it. If you are someone who had done the now sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? Very delineated training program that we put together for folks in their initial tour. So if you came out of that and then went to like an installation at SJA Billet, which is a pretty awesome second tour, I would say. And then you stepped into the VLC program. I'm not sure that you're going to get all of the reps and sets that you might like if you really want to litigate. But if you've come out of some litigation experience in your second tour, I don't think that your skills are going to atrophy by virtue of being in the VLC program. I think you're going to still be in the courtroom. And again, it goes back to, it is what you make of it, right? If you take the time to build the relationship with the trial counsel, then you can be a part of some of those conversations. I very much was able to share my thoughts after voir dire with trial counsel, like, hey, have you thought about this person? So you're still engaging your brain and using some of those skills. I think it's a great tour for someone who wants to be on the MilJust track, but is looking to do it in a different way and get some different perspective. The judges also can make a huge difference there. I was so fortunate that Captain Reyes was our judge for a long part of my time out here. He's an amazing litigator and cares about mentorship and the development of everyone who steps into his courtroom. So I felt like I was a part of that as well, practicing before him.
Definitely. And I think you brought out some really important points, and it kind of goes back to what you've said. Where you are too is going to make a huge difference in that, right? If you are more MilJust minded, right, you think that's your long-term route, it behooves you then, you know, go to a larger location, right? Get in the courtroom more, versus like if you're more of the SJ mindset, you have, I think, a lot more flexibility, right? You can explore the other options where you're more kind of that alone and unafraid, independent management kind of style.
You also I didn't do this, but we have plenty of collateral opportunities within the program too, to be a part of the appellate folk or the appellate team, where you can continue sharing that sort of expertise with those of us who maybe have less litigation experience.
Yeah. And I think that's a great part of the program, right? Is we kind of bring together a very broad and diverse group of people with different interests and backgrounds. And so it's kind of like we all help each other as things come up, right? Within our office, I know, we often have like questions that the more, experienced litigation folks will, jump on. But then there's times where they're like, I don't know how to explain to the CO, like, he's just not understanding what I'm trying to say. And so, it's a good opportunity for the more, experienced SJA folks to step in and say, well, you need to present it this way, or, the soft SJA skills that you talked about before.
Yeah, I think that's true. And you saying that has kind of triggered me to think about something else that I took away from my VLC tour that I hope more folks will try to engage with is being in Japan, where the op tempo is very, very high and the waterfront is very, very busy, was an important and good perspective for me. And I think a lot of times JAGs sometimes lose sight of what the overall mission is. We're here to support the fleet so that they can go and keep the waters of the world and our nation safe. That's the ultimate end game. We have a duty to our clients, whether it's a victim or an accused or a commander, but like that's our overall end game. And I think that was really important. I was here when Fitz and McCain happened, and that was a different experience, like looking through my client roster and making sure none of my sailors were on those boats at the time that happened. I went to Ford, where my CO had been the Reagan XO at the time that those collisions happened. That changed him. And I had that perspective that helped me understand him a little bit better. So I don't know. There's all kinds of lessons to be learned, no matter what billet you're in. I think it's just a matter of being receptive to them.
Yeah, definitely. For, younger officers who may be considering, coming into the VLC program, what words of encouragement would you offer to them, as they consider that as a possible next tour?
Yeah, I think it's a great opportunity. I think folks sometimes get too worried about, hey, I got to do this, and then I got to do this, and then I got to do this so that I can do this. And the JAG Corps is not really like that. I don't think we have any single billet that will forever alter your career trajectory so that you cannot do X. Maybe you can't do three billets in a row, right, that like take you off of that career path that you're trying to strike. But the VLC program is a, I think, a very mainstream bread and butter JAG billet for folks at that point in their career. There's going to be plenty of skills you're going to take out of it, and then you're going to be able to detail into that next thing that's going to continue to progress your career. I would say don't hesitate. If there's any interest that you have in the program, it's rewarding. There's so much mentorship. There's so much team atmosphere, which I really, really appreciate. I would raise your hand.
Any kind of last observations you want to share, kind of thinking back, you know, the program reaching its 10th year, maybe, you know, from what you saw back during your time to now, any thoughts or feelings you want to share?
It's wild to me that it's been 10 years. Time has no meaning anymore, I think, post-COVID. But I think there was a lot of those of us who were not in the program from the very beginning, like I think I was at trial counsel when it was announced, and we were like, what are they going to do? It was a little uncertain what the daily tasks were going to be for the program. And I think everyone who was detailed to that first class and going forward really built the foundations of a program that is absolute value add to the MilJUS mission, to SJAs in the fleet, commanders being able to support their sailors and focus on putting warheads on foreheads. So I am just so happy to have had an opportunity to be a part of it kind of in the earlier years. And I love what the mission has become and everything that they do to support the fleet.
Lieutenant Commander Jarzik, thank you so much for you know, joining us and sharing your perspectives from your time in the program. Always good to see you. You know, arigatou gozaimasu. Matta ne. We'll see you soon, hopefully.
You too.
You have been listening to JAG Talk, a podcast series featuring Navy JAG community experts. Visit jag.navy.mil for additional chapters of this podcast series. Thank you for tuning in.